We're reading from Shamati. The article is Revealing the Deficiency. And this is a very important article because the whole of creation is a deficit. It is the will to receive created by the Creator, and we advance only by a deficit, by a desire. Without a desire, I don't see or hear or taste or anything. The deficit is what motivates my senses, drives them, and advances me. What I want is where I go, and it is what I detect. If I don't want anything, I can't detect anything. So the main thing is the desire. Throughout history, our development happens by the development of the desire. The nature, or the Creator, creates an additional desire in us every time. This is what we call suffering. We feel bad in our current state, and then we want something new. And that's how we advance, meaning by being pushed from behind. We're being pushed, impelled. We lack hunger or money or honor, and all those things push us from behind. It's a deficit. And that's how we develop in our deficit, in our desire, and that's how we developed thus far. And now we've reached a new era, where now we need to develop not by being forced to develop by nature. In which case we see that this is better or that is better, and we don't know exactly whom to listen and where to run. And in this way we develop by urges from within, and for the first time now nature develops us to develop in a conscious way, to realize where we are going, to identify the goal, and then be able to develop towards this goal in a conscious way, in a willing, volitional way, developing our desire on our own. And really, this time is a very, very unique time, because nature no longer develops us by giving us another desire and another desire for something. And this is how we develop our technology and our education and our culture and our society and so on and so forth. Now, nature presents to us a goal that is opposite to our desire. Our desire is always to fulfill ourselves by others, by taking advantage of others, taking advantage of nature, and so on. And now, nature is teaching us that we need to do the opposite, to reach a state where we give and we bestow, and we connect with all the others in order to give to them. This is something completely opposite from what we are, from how we are. And this also consists of two forms of development, meaning we can develop still by being pushed from behind, by the urge to develop, by suffering, without a choice. Nature simply forces us to recognize that our ego is bad, that we always want to take advantage of others, and it's really to our detriment eventually. And this is a hard, long way to learn. All that we're beginning to see in humanity today is just the beginning of this new era. And as the wisdom of Kabbalah explains to us, there is a completely different way to do it, a fast and pleasant way to do it, to reveal the goal. And eventually, although it seems to us that loving and giving and connecting with others, being good to others, is very not desired for us according to our nature, and it also seems impossible, I can't imagine how to do it, it's unclear what is demanded of me. But if I achieve that, I enter an illuminated world. I reveal the hidden world, something that is completely new, because what I see now is through my desire to receive, to absorb into me. So then I identify and detect what surrounds me only through my ego, through my will to receive. You know, it's like sometimes you don't detect things and other people tell you, what, you didn't notice this or that? And you didn't notice it because it wasn't in your interest. So in the same way, we identify only a narrow, limited part of reality within our ego. Whereas if we start relating to reality differently, oppositely, through bestowal, not reception, then we will see reality and nature the way it is, completely whole and perfect, including additional layers, worlds, and ourselves in a way that is infinite, unlimited, eternal, and whole. And it all depends on the approach, on the attitude. How do we perceive reality? Either through absorption, egoistically, and then just based on our limited ability, we perceive what enters our vessel, our kli, or through bestowal, which means that I come out of myself, and then I feel and see reality the way it is outside. So the wisdom of Kabbalah tells us that we can discover this beautiful goal that is in front of us, and we can develop the desire towards it, although it is against our nature, and we can achieve this new perception of reality with the help of the study and our structure of a group, a world group. Eventually the whole of humanity is like a group. And this is what we're starting to reveal in this new global reality, global era. So it turns out that the acknowledgement, the acknowledging the desire is the most important thing. If the main thing is to discover the desire before I am forced by blows, and this way I advance in a pleasant way. Say it's like a child that forces himself to learn from others, to develop, and then he does it in a happy way, in a pleasant way, a good way. Or he's being developed by pressures and blows, not with his desire, and then life becomes unpleasant. So the more we are able to discover the goal that nevertheless stands in front of us, the goal of our development, and the path to it, the more we want it, the more we reveal the desire to it, then we will develop in a fast and easy way, and it will all be like a beautiful adventure, instead of the emerging problems that we are now seeing. And it becomes apparent in a very global way in the world. This is a phase that a person, that man needs to go through. We so far developed through the degrees of inanimate, vegetative, and animate. We developed like animals, and now we're developing to the speaking degree, the human degree. The human degree is understanding why it develops and what for and towards what. And that's why we're receiving the method, the wisdom of Kabbalah, and the ability to develop by consciousness, by awareness, by understanding and participating in it by ourselves. So this is just a bit of an introduction to the article. Let's see what he writes to us. Before we read, we can just mention to our viewers at home that you can ask questions through cob.tv, and the relevant questions will be aired and here with the help of Leo Gu, who is helping us on the internet position. Item 213 from the book of Shemati, Acknowledging the Desire, page 363. The basic primary principle is to increase the need, meaning the more a person has a focused, sharp desire towards the goal, the more he's capable of motivating himself towards the goal and coming to it in a faster way, in a shorter way. And the strength of the building is measured by the strength of its foundation. Many things compel one to labor, but they do not aim at the cause. Therefore, the foundation impairs the whole of the building. Although from not for his name, one comes to for his name, it still lengthens the time before one returns to the goal. Therefore, one must see that the goal is always before one's eyes, as it is written in Shulchan Aruch, set table, I see the Lord before me always. And one who stays home is not like one who stands before the king. He who believes in the reality of the Creator, that the whole earth is full of His glory, he is filled with fear and love, and needs no preparations or observation, only to nullify oneself before the King from his actual nature. Just as we see in corporeality, that he who truly loves his friend thinks of the best of his friend and avoids anything that isn't beneficial to his friend. All that is done without any calculation, and it does not require a great mind, since it is as natural as a mother's love for her child, who only wants to benefit her child. She needs no prior preparations and thought to love her son, since a natural thing does not require an intellect that will necessitate it, but it is done by the senses themselves. The senses themselves are devoted, since this is how it is in nature. As due to the love for something, they give their heart and soul until they achieve the goal. And as long as they do not obtain, their life is not a life. Thus, whoever feels, as it is written in Shulchan Aruch, that for him it is similar, and so on, he is certainly in completeness, meaning that he has faith. And as long as one does not feel one stands before the king, then one is the opposite. Hence, one should first and foremost regard slavery, and one must regret not having sufficient faith, as the lack of faith is one's foundation. Faith means sensation of the Creator. It's not the faith that we think of in this world, where it's like going blindly and believing something that someone told me. And what they told me, they don't know as well. They were told something as well. This isn't it. The wisdom of Kabbalah is the wisdom of revealing the Creator to the creature. And the first degree of revealing the Creator is called the degree of faith. So it's completely opposite from the regular use of that word, what we're used to. It is a force that a person feels as a result of feeling the Creator, just like we feel each other, and even more, because I begin to feel Him from within, how He governs me, and I influence Him in return, and the connection that becomes apparent is the most inner connection. The Creator is revealed only on the condition that a person is in dvekut, in adhesion with Him, in this inner match, and that's called faith. And one must regret not having sufficient faith, as the lack of faith is one's foundation, and one should pray for labor and desire to feel that want. For if one hasn't this desire, one hasn't the vessel to receive the filling. One must believe that the Creator hears our every prayer, and that one too will be salvaged in complete faith. Meaning we must grow the deficit, the desire, to such an extent that we begin to feel the upper force. It's not just wanting, like we want something in this world. Because sensing the Creator is revealing a quality that is opposite to us, a quality of bestowal and love that we don't have. And in order to reveal that, we need to organize the correct environment that will work on us, that will organize all the circumstances, all the foundations in a way that I will somehow detect what is the goal that I should precisely reach. Because now when I'm told love or giving, I think about it the way I understand it here in this world, meaning egoistically. And it's completely not it. And it's not exactly opposite as well. To give, to love, it's just not it. Therefore, what we are given is the work with a part of human society, the group, where we can come to a stage that we all unite in order to reveal this collective force of bestowal called the Creator. And this way we gradually aim ourselves to this new quality. And that happens by mutual support called arvut, mutual guarantee. And when we aim ourselves, direct ourselves this way, and advance with the support through the group, through the study, we draw, based on our desire to unite, a light that reforms. There is a unique force through the reading of the books, because the books talk about our corrected state. And if we organize ourselves as if we want to reach the corrected state, as if, because we don't really want that much, but if we seemingly want, then we draw what is called surrounding light from the study, and it increases our desire. And with that desire, we once again connect with the society. And when repeating this process a couple of times, me and the group and the study again and again, eventually I begin to literally discover the Creator. In my connection with the others, I start seeing that there is like someone here, like a special personality, a special quality that is fundamental, that exists here, and this force sustains the whole of humanity and sustains all the souls. And I begin to feel that where I identify him is in something called a soul. So revealing the Creator or revealing the soul is one and the same. They become revealed together, meaning me in my connection with the others and with the Creator, it's all revealed together as one. This is why it says Israel, the light, and the Creator are one. Israel meaning the person who wants to reveal this upper force, the Creator, the force of bestowal and love towards the friends with which he is making these efforts. It's like a model in him in which it will be revealed in this place. And the Creator is the force that is revealed then. And all of it is by our study called the Torah. Therefore, it is said, Israel and the Torah and the Creator are one. They are revealed as one. And all of it is in order for us to increase our desire through the study and the group to such an extent that it is so intensified in its intensity and also directed at connection with others, so that according to the equivalence of form, the Creator will become revealed. That's how we reach revelation. This is the implementation of the wisdom of Kabbalah. Just like Baal HaSulam writes in the article, The Essence of the Wisdom of Kabbalah, that Kabbalah is the method of revealing the Creator to the creature in this world. That's what we have to achieve. And then we reach a state where it was already prepared for us. The world of Ein Sof, with complete eternal life, and all of it is by those forces, those conditions that we already meet. This is why revealing the desire is so important. This is pretty much it, I think. If you have any questions, please. Yes, from the internet. A question from a student. If the Creator bestows and I receive, it's perfect. Why do I need to change it? Well, again, we have gone through such a development. Well, I will not draw the development from Ein Sof to our world. Oh, okay, I will. We were created in a state called the world of Ein Sof. And then through five worlds, Olamot, from the word Ha'alamot, concealments, we came to our world. And in our world, there was a gradual development. Let's say 15 billion years of development. And then we started developing on the face of Earth. And then we developed to our state. Let's say this is today. We developed through degrees of inanimate, then vegetative, and then animate. Now we've reached the development of the human, the speaking degree. But we are still really on the animate degree, because we only are concerned about our bodily existence. It's true that it's more complicated and complex than animals, but this is what it is, because our life, man's life, is in the body and not beyond it. This is why it's called the degree of animate, degree of an animal. And we've reached a special state where this period now ends, meaning the development of the individual ego within each and every one. Now we have to reach the speaking degree. So this is called Adam, from the word Dome, similar to the Creator. That's the speaking degree, or the human degree. So this development, from this moment and henceforth, can happen by suffering, just like before, where the deficits surface and push us forward, and that a student that doesn't want to identify himself on the internet can't tell me that we developed in a beautiful way. Because so far we only developed by feeling bad. This is how we always develop. It's from a lack, from a deficit, where I want to attain something that fulfills me, from minus to plus, or hoping for plus. Truth is, we don't really reach any plus, but we're hoping for it. You know, it's like when you chase, how does it work? You know what I mean? Like chasing a prey. Maybe. No, it's like when you put a bait in front of a bunny or something like that, and they chase it. So that's how we chase fulfillment, and we never really get them. And this happens by the increase of our ego. That's how we advance. But this development is not conscious. I don't know where I develop. None of us knows what is the next step, what is the next phase. So this is called the animate degree, not the human degree. The human degree is that I know where I develop and I determine it, and then I develop. How can this happen? It can happen if I know nature's plan, where I need to develop. If I don't know and I just make some plans for myself, based on myself, we understand that this isn't it. We have to know nature. And nature in Gematria is just like saying God. So what is the plan? Now, for the first time, I am obligated to know what is nature's plan. So if I know, whether I agree or not, it's a different story. But if I know, then I develop. Meaning there's a goal. And I'm told that the goal is to reach that world of Ein Sof, from which we descended to this world. In that state, we were similar to the Creator. That's called Adam, Domeh, similar to the Creator. And to that state of Adam, man, we have to reach. And this development is again, either by blows, very great suffering that will push us forward, or that I reveal the goal, that's called acknowledging the desire. That I acknowledge the goal, and this goal pulls me. I'm drawn to it. It's like a light that constantly shines on me, and I chase it, and I go towards it with joy and hope. You know, it's like a little child that plays some game that he really enjoys. So that's it. It is incorrect that we developed in a good and positive way thus far. That's first. We were just like a bunny chasing a carrot and never getting it. And then the proof is that we always feel emptier than before. And today, we know even less what is good for us and how to be fulfilled. And we're facing big global problems. And this is because the development we now go through is towards the degree of Adam, meaning that we all have to come to bestow upon each other, to connect. That's why we're reaching a global reality, a global world, mutuality, this interdependency. And this is why the problems that will now surface are such that no one will be able to control. It's not like I can do this and get that and so on. So acknowledging the desire for the right goal is a salvation for us. And this is why the wisdom of Kabbalah becomes revealed and the book of Zohar becomes revealed, in order to increase our desire towards the goal. So if we create a group here, and then from the study, we draw the light from above, the light that reforms, then there's no problem. Then we can really run towards the desired goal with a great desire and feel good and not have any problem on the way there. This is why acknowledging the desire is something very important. I actually just spoke an hour ago with one of my friends. He's an American scientist. So he spoke about the oil burst that happened between the U.S. and Mexico. So he said, and he really understands everything there. He's actually a physicist, and he understands all those underground issues. He says, we don't even realize what we did. It is the first time that not even earthquakes or volcanoes before, they never burst through that crust that exists the way we did it with the oil drilling. And he says that what is coming out now is coming out from such depths of the earth that we don't know what to do with them. And people are panicked, those who understand what is happening. He's one of those who research what's going on. And he says that this oil is now spreading to molecules, and then around the molecules of oil there will be molecules of water, and then it'll be just like gas, similar to the compound of gas that fuels our car. So he says that in this state, something like a hurricane or some other phenomena, natural phenomena, can create such a fire, such an explosion that is really impossible to deal with. And he says that it's impossible to block this leak. It's like we opened such a tank in the ground that is so that comes out with such pressure that it's just going to grow. So I'm sure, well, this is just one little sign of what's going on, because we really don't understand the time we're getting into. It's not because we now have the ability to drill some hole or to blow an atomic bomb. It's because we've come to a state where we're all interconnected. And in this state, we influence each other mutually in a way that we don't even understand. And this brings us to these phenomena that we can't see in advance. So Kabbalists explain that only in a conscious way, if we reach the understanding of what nature demands us to do now, then we will be able to develop in a positive and pleasant way. If there are no questions, we'll go to something else. The revelation that happens from today and forward through the group and the study and the books, is it something that is linear, meaning it goes through one stage after the other, or it just suddenly appears? Linear instead of in what terms? What do you mean? Could it be that we are... You spoke about intensity. Could it be that this intensity will suddenly reach, or it's something that intensifies linearly? If we're talking about the concept of time, then the growth is exponential, like an exponential graph, meaning the speed is accelerating. It's not a constant linear speed. So that's one thing. The second thing is that the desire that is revealed in humanity is also not linear. It's not growing linearly, but also in a very sharp exponential line. And we are seeing it in people that are appearing wherever, in India, in Pakistan, in places where you wouldn't even imagine that people are awakening. So how can we basically grow it, increase it, hasten it? Well, there are two ways, two possibilities to bring humanity to recognize the state we're in and what we're facing. First of all, man from within starts feeling that he must find a solution to what's happening in life, because the general despair is appearing, and the question, what am I living for, is being asked more and more, because we finished our animate development, where we don't ask. On the animate degree, we're just asking, how can we live this life in the most suitable way, in the best way? It's just like an animal. It doesn't think beyond its life. Now we have a question that is beyond our life, and we have no answer for it, and it makes us miserable and small towards it, and we can't answer it. And this question awakens in a bitter way in many people. The second thing is that we are disseminating our material in many ways, mostly through the internet, because all the rest, books or newspapers, is insufficient. It's not enough. And, well, you probably know that we have our website in many, many languages and so on. And the third thing is that we are now, just like in Ein Sof, we are in the same system that is interconnected. We're not leaving it. We're not getting out of it. All the souls are here. And they're connected. And they are literally in an ideal form of connection between them. But towards us, there was a concealment. These worlds, Olam Adam Kadmon, Atzilut Bira Yetzira Asiya, are just concealments over that state of mutual existence that we are in. And this concealment doesn't really flaw the connection between us. It's just hidden from us. It's like I'm not wearing my glasses or I'm not hearing so well. I don't exactly feel where I am. Let's say now, for instance, I'm here, and actually my ears are kind of blocked because I was swimming, and my eyes, and well, anyway, I don't smell that well as well. It's the senses are kind of vague or blunt, so it's not like I'm not here, I'm not with you. I am, but I feel vague, especially if you're sick or if you have some fever. So it's the same situation with respect to the state of Ein Sof. You are influencing and you're being influenced, but you don't have the proper communication and connection with others. But it nevertheless influences. And therefore, if we organize our circle of students as wide as possible and as warm as possible, with more and more clarification with respect to the purpose of creation and how can we achieve it, and from day to day it becomes more and more tangible, then we influence the process. Meaning, through the inner system, it turns out that some guy sitting in Lebanon, for instance, we have such examples, or even in Iran, suddenly they feel that they need to go online and look for something and find us. Without any even, without hearing about it from anyone. And these things are really happening in thousands of people today. And it's only because of this inner connection, this inner system between the souls. I think that now a time has come which wasn't like before. Because before we always paid a lot of emphasis on the external development of dissemination through our media and books and so on. And now we have to emphasize the connection between us all over the world, and that will really bring us to the inner, correct dissemination. Well, usually Oren is here to say who should ask. Yes. Good evening, I'm here for the first time, and I feel like this, the explosion is within me, the oil pipe is inside of me. I'm really exploding with excitement, and I'm studying for a year and a half online, watching the channel 66, many hours a day. And I went to the Dead Sea in the Shavuot holiday, and my laptop got broken, and my wife doesn't really like this whole thing, and I started looking what to do and where to go, and you know, it was like I felt like God forbid a drug addict, and it's as if I felt a need, and someone called me, and I don't know, I went to sleep, and suddenly I'm hearing you. I heard you, and I thought I'm imagining. I heard you with your voice as if speaking to me, and I heard a lesson coming out of nowhere. So, I don't know, it's kind of... I didn't ran into a situation like this any time before, and lately I've been having these crazy dreams also. What did your wife say? Well, okay. Yes, please.
No.
Good evening. I'm also here for the first time. Every morning I get up to the lesson, and I have a question that just doesn't let me develop more, I can say. On the one hand, you're saying that we reincarnated many times until we came to this life cycle, where we have to begin our development of the soul through the point in the heart. This is what the Ari writes in the book The Gate of Reincarnations. Okay, but you're telling us not to relate to the stories in the Bible as stories. Well, I don't know. Stories, regular historical stories, of course not. It is actually talking about godliness. This is why these books are called holy books. Yeah, so it's not just story tales. So I'm asking myself, if it is so, then where was I in all the previous incarnation? Where were I? Was I in the desert and the Egypt and all that? You were? So I was in the Exodus of Egypt, but I shouldn't relate to it as a story or not? Can you put these things in order? No. The corporeal story is a corporeal story. But what the Torah wants to tell us about is the process we've gone through in our inner development on the level of the soul. And the souls develop from generation to generation, like Bala Sulam explains, as a line of like soldiers that marches forward together, one step forward and another step forward, and based on the changes in the development, there are more souls or less more people or less people, but it's the same souls. So we all existed in all those previous incarnations. Yes, the lady there at the end. Yes, just please, quickly. Good evening. You said that if we reveal the goal, and the goal it shines on us like a light, then we chase it like a child with joy. So the path is too long, meaning I reveal the goal and my destiny and what I'm supposed to do, and I'm chasing this goal happily, but it takes a lot of time. The path is very long, and I want to get the fruit already. The path is long towards the goal if I don't exactly know the goal, and I don't exactly know myself, and I can't exactly direct myself to reach the goal quickly. Because the goal is being at it in the corrected state, meaning changing my nature exactly to match the Creator. That's the goal. Now, what is it? What does it mean to be like the Creator? That's what He demands us to do. Then I reveal Him, then I become eternal and whole. But what is it? How do you do it? How do you do it is the second question. So I need to scrutinize all those things. If I clarify these things as much as I can in my present state, and I start coming to it by steps, then I shorten the path. I'm not developing by all kinds of side problems, and I'm drawn by different goals and my relatives or the world or my nature. Rather, if I increase the desire, as he tells us here that the most important thing is the desire, if I increase it towards this goal and by the society, I confuse myself, literally. Even if I don't want it, I go into a society that tells me this is worthwhile. You know how much we're influenced by the environment. The environment does everything to us. We do whatever the society demands us to. That's how we live. So I need to organize such an environment around me that will force me to reach the correct goal, meaning that the environment will clarify with me what it means to be like the Creator. This is called being Adam, from the word Dome, similar to him. And then it won't be hard, it will be easy and simple, and through the society with, you know, joyfully, it'll happen. So there is a development where I individually clarify the goal along with the others who want the same thing, and there is coincidental development, just like the whole of humanity developed so far. And this is a very harsh development, and it's not harsh as it was before in previous generations, but much harsher, because we've come into a state where we are obligated to advance as humans and not as animals, and therefore now we will have a very sharp scrutiny to do between the life that we're living now and the life that we will advance towards consciously. I think that we are really good children. Yeah, we do, because we are developing and many more students are joining. The last year was a real blossoming, and still there are so many troubles around. Yesterday there was the whole situation with the boats in the ocean, and then the whole oil trouble, and it looks like the more we are coming towards connection, the more blows appear. So what should we do? It's very frightening to me. Well, I cannot assure you that these troubles will suddenly stop, or they will suddenly change, like, you know, if you had a good lesson in the morning, then there's no troubles in the evening, or something like that. No. First of all, we don't know the plan in the way it really is. That's one thing. The second thing is, I don't think that it is so close to us in a way that we can identify these things in our eyes. It's just incorrect. You can't identify these things. And we just have to see how people begin to... Well, look, don't look at the troubles that are happening to the world. First, pay notice to how people become more and more ripe to hear about the goal, and that it's attainable, and that it's predetermined. That is where development is first. It's not less troubles. If there will be less troubles or no troubles, people will just turn into animals that don't want anything. So the troubles will disappear as if at the last moment. Well, not in the last moment, but only on the condition that we will be tied to the correct, purposeful development. If we're not connected to it, then of course it's... Well, it's not that I, God forbid, expect it to happen, but I think that we are destined to see harsher things. So what can we do in order to hasten it? Well, the whole of Israel has to wake up. Baal Shem writes about it in the introduction to the book of Zohar. The Kabbalists write about it in a very sharp, decisive manner. There's nowhere to run. They say that the people of Israel, and especially those who are really here in the land of Israel, they must undergo the correction and then be a light of the nations. So according to what's happening here in Israel, I don't see it happening in the meantime. Meaning there is a development, of course. There is progress. I was just the day before in Haifa City. There was a great meeting with our people in the north. Next week I'll go to another center. But it's not enough. We are not catching up. We're falling behind still. So, dissemination. What can we do? Until we reach a state where... I don't know what is the ideal state we should have had today. Because this is all on the path towards advancing. But if we do what we're supposed to do, what we're capable of doing every moment, then it'll be good. There's no choice. Only this way. Meaning, to what extent, I don't know, maybe we need about 500,000 people to be really adhered to what Kabbalah says. Maybe 700,000, maybe 1,000,000 people are needed. I don't know. I don't have precise definitions of these numbers. But for certain, the Creator demands us to develop each time according to our level of development. Can you give us a practical advice to those, to the people here in the room? Only dissemination. That's it. No more. Dissemination and connection between us. External dissemination is spreading our material, and inner dissemination is the connection between us, so that people feel that there is love and warmth and spiritual force between us. And then they'll be drawn to it. They'll want it. Just love of others. Love their friend as they self. Good evening, Rav. I'm very happy to be here today. I wanted to ask you with regards to what's called the Tzimtzum. How can I know how much I need to receive for myself in terms of the Tzimtzum, the what's called restriction? There is no number. It's not like you're getting on a diet and you have this and that amount of calories that you need to get rid of, and you're choking yourself, you don't want to eat or something like that. There's nothing like that here. Or, I don't know, it's like you're killing yourself with exercises. No. Everything here is done by acknowledging the desire. That's it. Very simple. If I develop a desire towards the goal, and this desire determines all of my perception, my observation, my focus and direction that I am chasing, that I am being drawn to, that I am completely there. Anything else I do in life is not even accounted. It's not even considered. I can eat 10 meals a day and maybe my body needs it. I can eat, in the, I don't know, 10 hours a day or more or whatever. What you examine it with is your mind. If your mind is in the goal, then there is no calculation with your beast, with your body, because it only helps the man within you, the human within you. So how much you can steal and how much you can't, there's no question about it. Good evening. I have two questions, please. One is from the article. He writes, therefore a person should demand slavery first. So what is this slavery? The second, well, slavery is just what I said now, that if I'm latched on to the goal, if I'm locked onto the goal, this is called being a slave to it, meaning that this desire conquers me, and I need to realize it. Okay, and the second question is whether faith, if faith is feeling the Creator, when a person acquires this feeling, is it a constant state or a developing state? No, it's not constant. There is constant faith and incomplete faith, and complete faith, there are different degrees. But when a person begins, let's say, the first lowest degree of feeling the Creator, does it develop, or you feel like you lose it and then you feel it again? We should wish to feel that we're losing it, and then we'll strengthen it and won't lose it. If you think that you don't lose it, then you lose it. It's a momentary thing. It comes and goes and comes and goes until a person really takes control of it, over it, in a constant manner. And every time he feels it and new? Is it stronger or higher, or he may feel it less? And yes, it becomes stronger and higher and in different manners as well, according to our development. Because we, as if, reach the revelation of the Creator from different directions and angles. First we have to reach it, then we'll talk. Question from the internet. An interesting question coming from Michael from Hulon. He's saying, if there is no time in spirituality and everything depends on the desire, can I desire so strongly that in the end of the lesson all the nations of the world will love us? Well, the truth is, we are determining it. That's the truth. Because the people who are in connection between them, and they received from the providence the desire and force to unite. Look, the collective soul, this world of Ensof, what was there was a generation called forefathers, and then a generation called the sons, or the sons of Jacob, the time of Egypt, and so on. Then the generation of the Mishnah and the Gemara. And then the Kabbalists of all the generations of exile. The Kabbalists in the time of exile, and then us. The Kabbalists, yes. Sorry. Usually I'm not even seeing what I'm writing. And then us, who received from above, I'm talking about men and women as one. And we also joined them. We are joining them. If we are unique because we already belong to a different generation. We belong to the generation of the Messiah. This is how it's called, the last generation. We are together with the others. Let's say here is the whole of Israel and all the nations of the world, and we are all connected with them. This is a system which is called the system of the last generation, all of it. If we gain connection with the corrected system, this is the corrected part of the system. These are the corrected parts. If we gain connection with them, this is it. Now we can draw everyone else after us. The problem is literally in us. Because all the rest, they'll join. They'll be forced because we're connected to them internally. So the problem is here. Yes. We are now before the book week in Israel, and we in Modi'in city are organizing our group towards it, and I'm coming with a very, very big desire. Now I'm going to be standing there, and all that I truly want is to give our books to everyone and that they'll read them, because I know how important it is. But I just don't know the limit. Whether I'm really forcing myself on others or really helping them, meaning that the person in front of me really needs it now. And I'm afraid that I'll be not exactly doing the job properly. But, because my desire is so big that I really want the whole world to study this. And really, it's with everyone I'm meeting, but I'm really being cautious about forcing people and trying to really identify who truly wants to listen or who addresses me and asks. But this is like a really big opportunity, and I don't want to lose it. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to have a person in front of me and maybe just after a year he'll want it, but I'll do something that will reject him. Kabbalists throughout all the generations used to reject people from studying Kabbalah. So much so that there are really cruel stories that Kabbalists didn't accept people in a really degrading way, throwing them out of the door and so on. It was something that was just unbelievable, the way they were so, as if resisting students, not agreeing to have students, although they saw how important it is. There is a great issue in disseminating the wisdom of Kabbalah, publicizing it. On the other hand, not pulling the person to it artificially. It is better if we miss a few people, as if, seemingly, instead of pushing someone who doesn't really feel it, and then they'll just think that we're pulling their leg, or we're being missionaries, or it's very, very not desired, because there's no coercion in spirituality. So we should be more restrained than, like you're saying, you know, you want to love them with all your heart and hug everyone and pull everyone in. This year we're not handing out flyers or handing out gifts like we free books like we did. It's not that we became stingy. We used to hand out maybe 30,000 books every year and 12 million newspapers altogether. It's a lot if you take into account the cost of the TV channel. Costs us about 3 or 4 million shekels a year, and it's not like we're saving anything. We're paying everything from the tithing of the group. But here, I would be very, very cautious. We said, actually, we thought about it, and we thought that we shouldn't hand out free books anymore. Not now. Exactly because some people are getting more and more developed. Meaning the people on the book stands, they know that we're not inclined to hand out things. But if there is a person who's there in front of you and you think he'll accept it in a good way, give him. But think first, don't push it. This is what I'm thinking. So it's good that you feel this warmth, and let's hope that this warmth will be communicated internally, and that people will just feel it and come to you like this. And obviously, we have a lot of book sales to make it easier on people, like 10 books in 100 shekels and things like that, because we want people to get books that they can kind of create a lending library as well. Maybe we can continue to another article. Yes, article 211 from Shamati. This is a short article, page 363 in the English book of Shamati, article 212, title 211, page 362. As though standing before a king. One who is sitting at one's home is not like one who is standing before a king. We spoke about what faith means, right? Faith means feeling the Creator, just like you feel the person who's most close to you, but even more than that. This means that faith should be that he will feel as though he is standing before the king all day long, and then his love and fear will certainly be complete. And as long as he has not achieved this kind of faith, he should not rest, for that is our lives and the length of our days. Because if you come to that state, you really don't care about anything else. You sympathize with the eternal force that governs the world, and you become immersed in it. It fulfills you, meaning you completely, totally lose this regular existence, this temporary existence, and then all these values here and so on, you become included in Him. And we will not accept, we will accept no recompense. And the lack of faith should be woven in His limbs until the habit becomes a second nature, to the extent that when I remember Him, He does not let me sleep. In short, that this is the only thing I need. If I come in my life to a state where this is the only thing I want, that's it. Because it really saves me and fulfills me and everything. But all the corporeal matters quench this desire, since he sees that anything that gives him pleasure, that pleasure cancels the deficiency and the pain on purpose, in order for us to overcome this world and all the corporeal issues, in order to strengthen our connection with the Creator, meaning achieve a more and more complete level of faith. However, one must want no consolation and should be careful with any corporeal thing that one receives so it will not quench his desire. This is done by regretting that by this pleasure, the sparks and powers of the vessels of Kedusha are missing in him, meaning desires for Kedusha, sanctity. And through the sorrow, he can keep from losing the vessels of Kedusha. We spoke about it, right? How we should be afraid that the sense of the Creator will not disappear. So this is again acknowledging the desire. Everything depends on the desire, meaning we should only think about that. Really, we have only one problem to deal with. It's simple. Okay? Yes? Oh, first of all, yes, thank you for the wonderful evening you put together. She was in charge of setting up an evening for singles. I was there too. And it was great, it was beautiful. Well, at least the part where I was. Later I had to go. Now, it was great afterwards as well. Now, it was really great. We had 300 people, I think. Yes, 300 single men and women, and let's hope that there will be some results. I think there are already. Okay, good. So if everything depends on the desire, how do you reach a state where you grow the desire? Meaning, if I need some amount of desire to reach the goal, and I feel that I don't have it, then how do I grow the desire? A person cannot jump above his own head. He can't. Only through the environment. Only. I have. It works like this. I have. Well, I'll draw the, you know, man's body. So this is my body. That's me. In this life. This life. Me and this world. Besides that, I was also given above my head a point in the heart, only one point that yearns for something unknown, where to and what for. Now, how do I grow that point and make it bigger? It is foolish to think that I can do it on my own because I have nothing more. Whatever I think with regards to myself is only about my body. And that point is regardless of the body. It's better to see it as detached. What does it belong to? The system of the souls. I need to tie it with the points that are in my friends. Just like this, I need to receive from all the friends to really collect their points in the hearts, then my point will grow. It will not grow by inflating, by growing itself. It can't, because I'm just a cell. It is a cell in a system. But being connected to all the other points, by starting to create this connection, we are becoming an organ in the body, and then we find in the connection between us the light that dwells in us, the life that dwells in us. It's like a cell. If you take a cell out of the body, it dies. If you put it into the body, it lives. Why? Because it's connected with the other cells and provides them with liveliness. And above the animate degree is the whole man. And that's the way we should connect between us. So growing the desire, again, we're coming to the matter of the desire. Growing the desire for spirituality can only happen by the group. That's why it is written in the introduction to Talmud HaSefirot and all the places that if a person first has a desire for spirituality, he's brought to a connection with others right away. If he has no desire, then he wanders around. If there's a desire that was already surfaced for spirituality, then he's brought to the group. It's like a womb. When a drop of semen enters the womb, there it grows. Same thing with our drop, meaning with my deficit. It has to be in that group and there it will grow. But on the condition that I nullify myself towards the group, then the group influences me just like the womb influences the drop. It's like a seed inside the soil. If you take it outside, it dries up, and then it dies. If you put it into the soil, it receives and absorbs what it needs and develops. That's it. There's nothing new about it. We can see these examples in all levels of nature, all levels of life. So how do I know, how do I clarify that I really have a desire for spirituality? No one can tell you that. No one. And this is something a person should clarify by himself. For women, there are two tests, before birth and after birth. No, really. Baal HaSulam also had a granddaughter. My teacher had a daughter, and she was very, very much connected to her grandfather, meaning to Baal HaSulam. She used to study, and he answered her questions, and he would take care of her. Especially, she died at a relatively young age. And when she got married, after birth, her entire desire for spirituality completely disappeared. You know, he wrote about it, especially because it was a very sharp phenomenon in the family. But there are different situations. So let's hope that it won't go away soon. Good evening. I'm here for the first time, and for 2 months I'm watching you online, and I'm all very excited. And what I want to say is that a person without faith can't receive the desire. This is what the author says here. Now, when he receives the faith, when a person is born, he's born with two inclinations: the evil inclination, the will to receive, and the good inclination, the will to bestow. So if he doesn't have it, if he doesn't study Torah and Mitzvot, even from Lo Lishma he'll come to Lishma, so he will diminish reception and then receive bestowal. And maybe not through the environment, because if I am corrupted in my nature, like the wheat that is, let's say it's it has great soil and everything, but it's broken, how will it learn? If it's a good wheat, then it works. If it's broken, then it will never sprout, even if it has a good environment. Can I answer? Okay. I really appreciate your inspiration and excitement. It's really great to see a person like you starting to study. First of all, there are different discernments, several discernments that we have to determine as fundamental. The wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about the creature in this world. The creature in this world, to begin with, is corrupted, is broken. And it's insufficiently broken. It's like a little broken animal, like a dirty animal, let's say. I'm sorry. No. Wait. No, we're not animals. The others are animals. No, sir. Wait, if you want me to tell you about the Kabbalah's definitions, then okay. But not in this way. We're not arguing. I'm telling you what Kabbalah tells. And if you don't agree, that's your business. I can just tell you what the books say. I can give you a link or a reference to all the sources that I'm talking about. So first of all, a nation or a goy is called a desire. We are all born in that form called goy because we are all in the ego. One. Two, this ego is insufficient. It's not enough. We have to be immersed in a greater ego in order to really feel what the Creator created, so that we are worthy of receiving the Torah, of wanting to correct ourselves. The Creator says this, I created an evil inclination, meaning it's towards you and towards everyone else. I created an evil inclination, it writes. An evil desire, meaning you are evil to begin with. He says it, and He doesn't hide it from you. That's first. If you feel that you are evil enough, then, he says, I created the evil, the Torah as a spice to correct this evil. So if you're saying that you're not so bad, that you're not so evil, then it's too bad. Then you don't need the Torah, because the Torah was only given to the evil ones. The Creator created only evil. And then He doesn't correct, He gives you the opportunity to correct it. To the extent that you feel that you're evil, then you use the Torah and you use it to come to good. What is good? Bestowal and love of others. That's it. As it says, love thy friend as thyself. The greatest rule of the Torah. So we are studying the Torah in order to come to love others. Now, those who come to love others are called Israel. Israel. If you bring me such people, let's examine who's really called Israel. I didn't see these people. Maybe you did. Meaning it's not so simple being what is really defined by the Torah as Israel. One who was born to a Jewish mother, that's nothing. We're all called Gentiles. Well, who do you think was Abraham? He was a Babylonian. It's just because a part of our history, we were in the realization of the Torah. We had love towards the others. We realized the rule of love thy friend as thyself. Before we fell to unfounded hatred, that's called the ruin of the temple. Then we were the nation of Israel. Afterwards, it's just the title, the nation of Israel. But we're not a nation and we're not Israel. Because Israel comes from the words Yashar Kel, meaning towards the Creator, when you have the same quality of the Creator. So the definitions of Kabbalah are the true definitions. This is why it is called the wisdom of truth. The wisdom of truth means that every other Torah is a lie. I'm not ashamed to say it straightforward. A lie. Because you're lying to yourself with all those definitions of what is Israel, what is the Torah, what is the nations, Lishma, Lo Lishma. You're lying in all those definitions. I'm not saying this is wrong in our state, because we're all in this state. This is a state of exile, but this is how it's called. But if we want to come out of it, we have to start giving the correct definitions, and then everything changes. You start feeling that you are to blame in everything, that you are evil, and that you have to correct yourself, and only then become light of the nations, meaning draw all the rest of the nations with you who didn't receive the method, and they blame you because you are wrong and you're not giving them the light that can only come through you to the world, and so on and so forth. You begin to understand that we're not that much of a right of righteous. So let's hope that we all understand it, and instead of taking pride, we will take pride only in one thing, that we have the device, the means by which to correct ourselves. This is truly a unique matter. But the work is a great work that we have to do. Lolishma means that a person studies the Torah and wants to receive all kinds of benefits from it. This is what it says in the Zohar, that either a person thinks that he'll get something good in this world or in the next world, that his children will feel better, that he'll have money to live well in this world. This is called studying the Torah for yourself. This is wrong. This is flawed, because the Torah was given to correct the evil inclination. Lishma means that one studies only in order to correct oneself, in order to bestow and give to others. Meaning the whole issue of correction and Torah is the opposite of what we are here. It is to invert us to givers instead of receivers. That's why there is what's called the reason of Torah and the reason of what's called hosts. Hosts meaning those who take. And that's what we see according to the results. A person who studies Torah, see how they behave, how they live, who they really are, how they think. And then you can see what they really study. Unfortunately, we're still in exile, and we have to come out of it. It's our common trouble. I, God forbid, am not blaming anyone. And we just have to see how to quickly correct this situation. Yes. First of all, I found a quote. There's a new booklet here with quotes, and there's a quote here that really answers this question. By the way, we have these little pocket-sized books like Shamati, Lirot Tov, and now this is called It Is Written. Yes, usually there's a person in all our lessons that give quotes during the lesson. So there's a quote here from page 164. It is found that all the existence of the species of man is only about that preparation he has for working for the Creator, and this is what elevates man above the beast. This is from an article of Baal Sulam. That's the difference. In short, either you bestow or you receive. A receiver is an animal, and a giver is Adam. It's not according to whether you walk on two legs or not. It's like Rabash used to say, you know, a rooster also walks on two legs, not only you. So there's nothing really to be proud of. Yes, please? Yes, quickly. I'm also new here, but I'm actually studying for a year or 2 years. How did they come out of the hiding all of a sudden? I have two questions. One, according to what I understood, the growth of the point in the heart entails having a group that amplifies it. What about women? I understand that only men are... No way. No, no. Why? How could it be? Men and women all take part together. Only the men have a more active role. It's similar to how it works in our life. Well, our modern generation is somewhat not showing that. But until the last century, there was a more natural picture. A woman was more in charge of the home and taking care of the children and giving birth to the new generation and educates the new generation. She has a very basic, fundamental role in life. What will happen if the women will not give birth and educate and really grow the next generation? That's it. Then the whole of humanity would end after one generation. It's obvious, right? Meaning a woman has a natural role here. There's also a hidden part that we don't see in the women's role, which is the deficit. The desire, the deficit in the root of creation is really the woman. The woman is the nukva, the female, or the malchut, as we call it in Kabbalah, the carrier of the deficit, the desire. But the realization, meaning how to correct the desire, happens by the part of the male. And they both work harmoniously together. So there's nothing to correct in a woman. So the desire we're always talking about is actually the more men study together, the desire will actually be felt in the women. Because internally we're all connected in our hearts. Look, the more I study more, you will feel a greater desire, and your desire will influence me to study more and connect more. So in this context, my husband doesn't see my interest in Kabbalah as a good thing. What do I do? Don't you know what a woman does with her husband? Come on. A woman knows how to do everything with her to her husband. No? No, no. Of course, there is a choice for each and every one. And God forbid you shouldn't force each other to do anything. And everyone should decide whether to study or not. I don't see how in our time a man can force a woman to do something. I think the opposite, the other way around, is actually more realistic. No, really, seriously, we as men are very dependent upon the women, much more than how it seems like the opposite. And therefore, I don't think, well, we see that you're nevertheless here, right? So, if it was the opposite situation, that would be a question mark. No, because really, it is in nature. I'm not trying to entertain. This is how it is in nature. Women are the carrier of the desire. This is why they can give birth to the next degree, to the next spiritual degree. And in short, the whole issue is just about the practical implementation, the study at night, and the wide, massive dissemination is more up to the men. And the women, wherever they can join, we are always happy. Did you already find a role in the book week? Yes. Okay, good. So your husband can help. We'll conclude with this. Before we conclude, we'll just announce to the viewers and everyone at home that we invite you all to come to our book stands in the book week in Israel. Tomorrow it starts, and I'll tell you right now where we're going to have book stands: in Jerusalem, in Tel Aviv, in Haifa, Be'er Sheva, Kfar Saba, Ramat Gan, Modi'in, Netanya, Ra'anana, Cholon, Ashkelon, Eilat, Hadera, Pardes Chana, Or Akiva, Zichron Yaakov. And if you want more details, call our number 1-700-509-209 or go into our website in Hebrew, kab.co.il. Oh, in Ashdod they want one as well. Well, in short, we'll try to do it everywhere. And go to kab.co.il and ask for what you want. And I also very much recommend this new booklet, Sources. It contains only sources.